Welcome, everybody, to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Carolyn is amazing. She's a doctor, she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's going to tell you exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. I can't think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean.
Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Carolyn. Guess what I'm doing?
You're doing X posts?
That's right. I'm watching you on X and I'm saying cool and groovy things about you as we go along. So excited to continue to feature Dr. Dean here on X, the home of Maha, pretty much. One of the main platforms that's actually adopted its ideas and its interest in making America healthy again. So we've got Dr. Dean here with us again tonight. And of course, we're always on YouTube Live. And we're back again, Carolyn. Welcome.
Thank you. Another beautiful day for us to get out the message of health and happiness.
That's right. And also, Dr. Dean is well informed on this message. 50 years, everybody. Let's think together. 50 years. Where I was 50 years ago, 50. She was already out knocking it out and doing her thing, doing the good work, as she says. As a doctor and a naturopath in Canada, eventually in the United States, she's written so many books, including one of the most famous books, natural health books ever, which is Magnesium, the Missing Link to the Magnesium Miracle, and also her revised Magnesium, the Missing Link to Total Health as part of her extraordinary library. She is an educator. And she's a doctor. She is one of the most compassionate people I know, and she is here to make a difference for you. So we're excited that you're on the journey with us. We've already got tons of people tuning in. Here on the QR code on the screen, you'll see how to get your copies of Dr. Dean's books. They're also on Amazon. Amazon has become an actual publishing partner, Carolyn, believe it or not. With all the things that you've ever done with them, they've finally taken up the cry and they are out there waging war for people to be able to hear your and see your books and read them on Kindle. So that's fascinating. And of course, we have our whole marketing team behind you as well. So we're here for Dr. Dean's message and her good work. And what do you have that you is on your mind tonight of unique interest?
Well, we've got it all lined up in our show, as you know, Ginny. So, I mean, I've got so much on my mind. I could go on forever. You'll say something about, I've been at this for 50 years, and then a dozen stories come in my head. But they'll all come out in the wash. But let's just dive into our show.
Okay, very good. We're diving. And we start with your library. What would you like to say about all these fabulous books tonight?
Well, we're talking about arthritis in the blog, but I guess the book that goes with that would still be the Missing Link to Total Health is Magnesium. So we'll get to that. The different conditions that I talk about, I'm not allowed to say our dietary supplements will help, but I'm allowed to say that certain nutrients will help. But just know that when we talk about magnesium, we mean our picometer magnesium, the type of magnesium that's a stabilized ion that is uniquely able to get into the cells because of its size and its charge. So as I said, we can't name our supplements, but maybe people in the chat actually could name them as we're talking about them, because it's all about what gets into your cells.
Yes.
It's not just, oh, here's a list of, you know, to 30 things that you need, but they're not absorbed, or they're not organic, or the body rejects them because they're synthetic. Mm-hmm. We have seriously gotten our supplements to a little handful that are fully absorbed and they do their work. Same with the vitamins, food-based vitamin Bs which are methylated. We have some food-based vitamin C as well as ascorbic acid. So it's all about the type of supplement, not just the name of the supplement. And that's why a lot of people are critical of doctors that get on and talk about their dietary supplements, because they've tried them and they haven't noticed the difference. But if you try our dietary supplements, you will notice the difference.
Right.
So that's the difference.
Yes. And I think we have people know or are starting to understand about ultra processed food. Well, there is such a thing as ultra processed supplements. And just like you can process all the life force out of a food, you can do the same thing. But our products aren't like that. They're actually life-giving. They're energizing. I call them peak experience products, because you take it and you experience it, literally, Carolyn.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a personal mission, personal journey for me, because I had to, with definitely the 100% help of a chemist, create a magnesium that was non-laxative. Because I was head to toe magnesium deficient, tons of symptoms. It was horrible. Heart palpitations, headaches, neck tension, Charlie horse leg cramps. So that led me to find a solution for myself and then pass it on in a company that I developed, you know, when I was ready to retire. But I'll never retire. Don't worry, never retiring.
Correct. That's the number one thing most of our customers ask. Dr. Dean can't retire. Don't worry. She's not going to. Not going to retire. Yeah. She's just getting started and discovering herself all over again here at the Wailea Healing Center, Carolyn, which I think is so fantastic. What you're doing for your local community.
I know. Well, for my local community, I totally fund a organic farm, 46 acres. We have a farm store, and we do a couple of markets as well. We're going to open another farm store soon. And that was my give back. But then in the community, I decided, because all the people around me, they're aging and they don't need to. Mm-hmm. I've been here almost 18 years. And while I'm feeling healthier than I ever have, I see the problems and see the adding the drugs and adding the diagnostics. Medicine has become not just big pharma selling drugs, but they are selling diagnostics.
Mm.
They will tell a person, oh, well, you have to have this test. And well, that test wasn't quite right. Let's do another test. Until they find something. But in the meantime, all those tests cost a lot of money. So we've got a terrible situation now where medicine is looking for problems so they can treat them with drugs. And while they're looking, they're really racking in a lot of healthcare dollars that you might not see coming out of your pocket. But our Kaiser plan is about $1,800 a month for just two people, and we don't use it. So we have to be aware that medicine has become commercialized and people really need to take care of their health. And we're doing that as best we can by telling people about lifestyle and diet, but also that you have to get the best dietary supplements, because I did this farm experiment thinking, well, you know, maybe if the food from the farm is so pure because it's organic, maybe it has all the minerals because of the soil, but there's not enough minerals to take care of what's ailing us now, because we're constantly fighting the stress and the toxicity and the radiation in our environment. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that can be all negative. I mean, I wrote the book Death by Modern Medicine, for Pete's sakes. I know the negative, but I spend all day and every day talking about the positives.
Correct. Yeah, correct. You sure do. And not only that, I have had repeatedly people say over the years, and especially on our podcast, on a previously radio show, Dr. Dean's the only doctor I've ever talked to who expected me to get better. You know, most doctors don't expect their patients to recover unless they've got a cut. You know, they're putting them on a lifelong diabetic program. They're putting them on a lifelong treatment for migraines, lest they come back. You know, they're not anticipating that the body is naturally going to repair itself when it's given the proper building blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And that's why they're lowering the blood pressure rate that tells you you're in trouble. They're making I don't know if it's this week. We're going to be talking about the coronary artery scan. If you've got a little calcium in your coronary arteries, then you have to take drugs. So they're constantly trying to get you on lifelong medications earlier, because they're having no luck when you start having symptoms and they give you drugs. You just go ahead and die. But they don't realize that it's the drugs that are hastening your end, because they have so many side effects, including stripping your body of magnesium and other nutrients as well. So let's get on with it, Jenny.
All right, Carolyn.
Enough of this lollygagging.
Lollygagging. It's good stuff, though. People who are encountering you for the first time may not have really heard or considered. And I think your point about diagnostics is very well pointed and very well taken. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. People don't have a tendency to really examine that because they have insurance coverage. Mm-hmm. So they go, sure, they have a copay, but geez, the MRI would have been X, you know, if they didn't have insurance. But since they did, it was only Y. But they don't even understand what they're exposing themselves to when they do magnetic resonance imaging, radiation kind of treatments, and all kinds of other stuff, plus the stress of the procedure itself enough to deplete your magnesium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even taking a blood test. I mean, I can't tell you the number of, usually it was, you know, big hefty men, I'd draw their blood and I'd get a faint out of them. So yeah, it's very stressful. The whole business is stressful.
That's right. But you've got some good words tonight, and we're going to learn about arthritis, which, speaking of aging, can come into play. But we hear more and more now, even young people experiencing what they're being told is arthritis.
Right. So this is my weekly blog. You'll find it at drcarolyndean.com. Mostly I focus on osteoarthritis. It's considered common chronic degenerative condition of the joints. You'll see some people with knobbly joints. I mean, that could be rheumatoid arthritis, but rheumatoid arthritis hands kind of splay out. This is just thick joints, finger joints. So it's a long article. It's got some good information, but you know, the wear and tear that they talk about, they act like your body can't fix that. Well, your body can fix it. The cartilage, the ligaments, and the soft tissue around your joints, it's called collagen. And what makes collagen the main thing is vitamin C. I've been very big on vitamin C lately for the heart, and now we're talking about the joints. In the article, I talk about Dr. Google, how everybody's getting their information from the internet. So Dr. Google says the symptoms of arthritis can be managed but cannot be reversed, which is a scary thing to say. I say allopathic medicine has a vested interest in saying arthritis can be managed because that means lifelong medical appointments to get your medication. Allopathic medicine has no interest in curing your disease. They just don't, like Ginny said, they don't have that mindset. So we got pain in the joints, tenderness to the touch, swelling and inflammation, stiffness, reduced flexibility, grating, popping, or clicking in joints. And medicine says it's a mystery, you know, what causes it? And maybe it's just age, maybe it's genetics, or overuse, or there's injury and obesity as well. And women are more likely to develop arthritis than men, but why is that? And I say, perhaps it's because the female hormone, estrogen, depletes magnesium, and magnesium also, it treats inflammation, flexibility, pain, and tenderness. So if you don't have magnesium, are you just developing those symptoms from magnesium deficiency? So I go on. I mean, that's the basic thing about looking at nutrients, vitamin C, magnesium, of course, the omega-3 fatty acids is going to help your cell membranes be healthy. I looked up the Arthritis Foundation because they give a lot of information out about arthritis. And they say they're a nonprofit dedicated to the prevention, control, and cure of America's leading cause of disability. In their words, we vigorously advocate for better access to prescription drugs, and we're providing grants for new research that give more treatment options for people with arthritis. Seriously, they could have asked us, right, Ginny? They could have asked us, but no, they're taking in millions and millions in order to be able to tell people to take more drugs. And the side effects of the drugs, I guess, historically, the first drug they used to treat arthritis was the cortisone family, corticosteroids. But as I say, it wasn't long before the horrible side effects of bleeding ulcers, suppression of adrenal gland function, and thinning bones turned the miracle into a disaster. Hmm. And to this day, we hear all the time, people, you know, sometimes our customers, they'll say, well, I was offered cortisone shots for my knee pain or ankle or pain or whatever. And they wait for people's joints to really deteriorate. And then they say, well, we'll replace your joint.
Right.
We're on the hotel walk every morning, me and Julie right now. And I want to yell out when the people are running by, hip surgery, 15 years. they don't get it that they're, maybe it's the wear and tear, but see, it's a wear and tear. They're sweating out their magnesium and their potassium and other minerals, and they're not replacing any of these nutrients. So they're bound to run into problems. So then, you know, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, they say, oh, they're so beneficial. Let's just use them until we get heart attacks. What was it? Vioxx. They had to pull that anti-inflammatory because of 140,000 heart attacks that developed on these drugs. So there's always going to be a side effect. Menopausal women often develop arthritic symptoms. So the question I've asked and written in my books, does the cessation of the monthly menstrual period, which serves to rid the body of toxins, mean that instead these toxins are building up in the joints? And that means, you know, people should be not necessarily doing big detoxification. In my world, it takes taking your picometer magnesium to help the body detox, taking your methylated B vitamins to help the body detox, and the different minerals like selenium is very important and zinc is very important, also in picometer size. So I guess the last thing maybe I'll just throw in is about small joint arthritis. Now, it's either an allergy or sensitivity to the deadly nightshades that can cause tightening and stiffness and even swelling of some of your small joints. Deadly nightshades, potato, tomato, green pepper, tobacco, eggplant, and paprika. So look to avoid those for a month or two to see if your joints change. One year when I grew a lot of tomatoes and ate a lot of tomatoes, my finger joints felt it.
Mm.
So there you go. I talk about some first aid, hydrotherapy, massage therapy, myofascial therapy if the fascia has gotten scarred or irritated. So we talked about magnesium and vitamin C, vitamin D as well is important in promoting healthy bones and joints. So that's our kind of our topic for the day, I guess you could say, but there's a lot more to come.
Couple questions from the chat line. When it comes to arthritis, Carolyn, what would you say as far as your vitamin C intake every day? What are you recommending there?
Well, you know, I'm really going for 10,000 milligrams a day.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. And with that, you do have to take it throughout the day. Right. So I'm taking our berry powder. I think a scoop, does it have 4,000 milligrams?
Yep.
So that's two scoops. And then you take a couple of our food-based vitamin C. I haven't named names. And you've got your 10,000 and you're putting your scoops in with your minerals in your drinking water, in your liter of drinking water, and you're drinking it throughout the day. Because our magnesium is non-laxative, but vitamin C can have a laxative effect. For some people, that's great. So I don't say today, go out and do 10,000 milligrams, work up to it and see how your joints feel. But it's not just for arthritis that I'm looking at vitamin C. It's also for your heart. I have a real concern about how the COVID virus itself and the COVID jab, both with their spike protein, have spiked into our tissues, including our heart muscle tissue, and could be affecting them. And one of the ways of building healthier tissue, which is your collagen, is to use more vitamin C in the ascorbate form. There is a difference between just the straight ascorbate and the whole vitamin C, which has 8 different vitamin C. In the vitamin C complex, there's 8 different chemicals or ascorbates. So I'm really on promoting high dose vitamin C at this point as kind of a prescription. It's not necessarily just, oh, you need some vitamin C to do this and that. We're in a bit of a war right now.
Okay, very good. She didn't say prescription.
No
prescription vitamin C, but no. She did basically just mean that, you know, if you're interested in vitamin C, you should take high doses. And I think that's very good. Now, the other thing, Carolyn, is that we're upgrading our vitamin C reset powder. So it's going to have the same thing as our whole C. That's not available quite this little silly second, but it will. Mm-hmm. And so that will be very beneficial to people. Now, the other thing I just want to point out is our lovely Michelle G, who's always on with us, said that she reversed her arthritis and her finger nodules, and her fingers have straightened out by doing appropriate mineral supplementation. Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, at all times, we always think what the appropriate mineral supplementation is ours. So very excited for Michelle, because our hands are definitely a point of beauty. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, not fun when they get all gnarly. I mean, it's understandable, but it's so fortunate. And I wonder too about applying that magnesium topically. What do you think, Carolyn?
Of course, of course. You can even, I do it for my feet because I walk so much, but you can put a magnesium lotion on your hands or even the straight magnesium liquid and put cotton gloves on and go to bed. Yeah. And you get an all night treatment, just like you can put it on your feet and put your socks on. I do it all the time. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Now, if you have questions about how to dose some of the products or just general needs, I probably should also defer you to customer service. They're always here, 888-577-3703, and they always stand by during the podcast to answer these kind of questions. But Dr. Dean has a very strict agenda of things she wants to talk about tonight. So let's let customer service answer a couple of those questions for you. Psalm 91, and then we'll come back to it if we can. And Margaret Lee has checked in with us tonight. We want to say hello, Margaret. We love you. Margaret, check, check. Glad to have you on board. And Carolyn, let's keep going. What would you like to talk about next?
We usually go to the Maha Agenda. We're on number 13, and it's about long-term health reform. There are 14 items that our marketing team has found that kind of apply to the Make America Healthy Again agenda and what we've been doing and what we've been advocating. Long-term health or health care reform. I suppose health reform means it's an individual process. Health care reform is more what the government is going to do. Both are going to be difficult. It's difficult for people to go on a health regimen without the proper building blocks. And so I have a concern whether or not Maha is going to be able to meet this goal of long-term health reform. There's so many factors in the way. Big pharma, allopathic medicine, it's gone very commercial. And if you cure your customers or patients, they don't come back. People kind of tease us about our customer service when they say, well, you know, so-and-so spent half an hour with me. How can you run a company when you're spending all that time? We spend a half an hour or more two or three times with one customer, and then they're gone. They're flying into their health process all by themselves because they have all the information. You don't just drib and drab out the information to your customers. You give them everything they need so that they can go it on their own with you know, checking in every once in a while. So that's not going to happen in allopathic medicine because they want to create lifelong patients that come and spend. Seriously, what did I hear from someone? I forget what the specialty was, but it was like $500 to have one visit with one specialist. $500 out of the healthcare plan. When I was in practice up in Toronto, I'd get $20 for an appointment. So it's no wonder that the healthcare system is going bankrupt. So I don't know what else. I mean, what would you say about long-term health reform? I'm just giving the critique here for the most part.
Well, we know it's needed, and we know that consumers vote with their feet, and we are the consuming nation of the world. And we know that the more consumers demand something, and we saw that in COVID, that there were people demanding certain things and those demands ended up being met. Mm-hmm. So we have to advocate for ourselves. And that's where you're going to learn from Dr. Dean. If you want to look like Dr. Dean looks when she's 76, as she is now, then you're going to have to advocate for yourself. You're going to have to pay attention and make this your job, not just Dr. Dean's job. It has to be your job. And the way that you engage with long-term health reform is by becoming an advocate for yourself and your family members through correspondence, through social media, through reaching out to politicians, through voting, and through taking necessary action through lobbying firms and other things to really represent you in the things that are important to you, because your voice does matter. So we have to do our part, and we can't just let everybody run roughshod over us anymore.
Very good. Okay, moving on to questions and comments. We just tried to make this short, and a little testimonial came in from Virginia, not Ginny, but Virginia. Now, Virginia was a patient of mine in Toronto in the 1980s, and she says, quote, "I attribute my lifetime of excellent health to her guidance." And she says, "I just want you to know that other than high sugar count, my husband is otherwise in excellent health and he takes no prescription drugs. I attribute his good health to the complement formulas and will work on adjusting the dosages." So with the sugar, that we talked about diabetes last week, so maybe Virginia's commenting on that. That's, you know, cutting out sugar, maybe treating yeast overgrowth if someone is craving sugar, and using vitamin C to kind of antidote the excessive glucose, because glucose, sugar, and vitamin C compete for transportation on insulin to get into cells. Insulin will open up the cells to allow glucose into cells and allow vitamin C in. And if there's a high blood sugar count, that means vitamin C is kind of kicked off the receptor sites and doesn't get into your cells to do all the necessary antioxidant work that vitamin C does. So more vitamin C again, Ginny.
That's very exciting. So let me ask you this. If you had a high sugar count, you would take vitamin C to dump the sugar then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, when we, with our foster
care. How come sugar isn't a cure for, vitamin C isn't a cure for diabetes?
I guess it's part of it. Yeah, because it doesn't work on insulin, vitamin C, backward on insulin. Magnesium, it affects insulin and 7 or 8 different processes of how insulin works. So magnesium is more important there. But what was your first question?
But it is going to interrupt. It is going to have an effect at the cellular level. It's just not going to have an effect at the insulin level.
Correct. Okay.
Very good.
Excellent. And with vitamin C, I first started using it with the foster kids when we'd have our big parties and all the sugar things were out. There was also a vitamin C table, so they had to go over and take their vitamin C to antidote the sugar. So it's, I'll have to look more. As we're upgrading our ascorbic acid product, we're going to have to list off all the incredible things that vitamin C does. Yep. Okay.
Absolutely.
Moving on to helpful hacks. Okay. This is my hack. My 3-pound weight. It's pretty messed up because I throw it around a lot. This is what I walk with in the morning. People who know me here, no, I just have the one weight. I use it on both arms. Now, what's fascinating is when I had my injury and really wrecked this arm, it turned into, well, first of all, it was ballooned up the size of my leg. And then it turned into a noodle because I couldn't use it for 3 weeks. So then I started back with my weight. And seriously, within a few weeks, we see the muscle here. Look at that muscle, Ginny. Look at that definition. Tell me about it. But not that. Not only that, my forearms, I don't know if it's possible to see, but I have forearm definition, and my right forearm is bigger than my left forearm. My left forearm never got injured. And what Julie noticed I've been doing is preferentially using my right arm or working my right arm and not my left arm. So that seriously shows you how important it is to work your muscles. You don't have to do heavy weights. You don't have 3 pounds. This is only 3 pounds, and it's got me this muscle. So there you go, Ginny. What do you think of that?
I think that's so fantastic. And also, let's just mention that you're on a 8-year walk every morning. I mean, you walk for hours, right? How many miles are you walking that you're doing all this?
It's probably about 3 or 4 miles.
Okay.
Three. But see, we call it intermittent walking.
Ah.
Intermittent walking. Well, walk, 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 and then stop and talk to people.
Okay.
Walk, walk, walk. Oh, Dr. Dean, I have a question. Walk, walk, walk. Hey, Carolyn, what's happening? You know,
so that's right.
It's very friendly. I'm collecting smiles, as I have said before. Very blessed to be able to do that here.
Very good. That's so fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. Yes, everybody's very jealous of your biceps. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. Now, I also want to let you know, speaking of people who are in great shape, behind the scenes, our producer, Rachel, Carolyn, fell just as you fell, not on the concrete the way that you did at the market, but she had her own very serious fall. And do you know, she didn't break a thing. All she did was wound her hand. She's got a real hefty, nice little bruise on it. But she took a good fall. Yes, she did. And she got right back up. So the importance of walking, using the minerals, and keeping that bone density and keeping that bone health up cannot be overstated at any point in life. And we're finding out again, these young people who are in front of the computers all day long, leading a very sedentary lifestyle, no mineralization, ultra processed foods, their bones are like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
They're just.
Yeah. It's a huge lesson right now with these amazing astronauts that came back after being up there for 9 months. We knew with the first astronauts that they came back and they had osteoporosis. Their bones just deteriorated because you don't have even the push-pull of gravity on the bones. So this is where any sort of exercise, pulling on the muscles, pulling on the bones, makes the bones stronger. So just like Ginny says, you sit around and you lose your bones. So we really have to be careful. And the astronauts were just interviewed. Bill Hemmer on Fox was interviewing them today. And they said they have to do 2 hours of exercise every day up in space. So at least we should be doing an hour of exercise to keep our bones situated. And as you get older, especially with women, they tell us you should go for the bone scans and, oh my gosh, you've got osteopenia. I mean, partly they're comparing a 70-year-old bone to a 30-year-old bone and saying, oh yeah, it's not good. It's not good. But there may be some loss. And what you have to do is make up for the loss with your muscles. You have to keep your muscles strong. When you feel your knees getting a bit creaky, you walk up and down those stairs as your exercise. You do not move to a one-level house. You just get your quadriceps stronger so that it helps keep your knees from jamming up against one another. Your knee joint is just a simple hinge. Right. And what keeps it from crushing into, you know, the top bone crushing into the bottom bone is the strength of your muscles above and below. Keep those muscles strong. So there.
Very good. Excellent. Okay, wonderful. What shall we speak of next, Dr. Dean?
We are talking about aspartame.
Oh.
Yeah, the popular artificial sweetener. They have finally done a study that says it may increase insulin levels. Now, the whole thing about artificial sweetener is it's not supposed to make your body think that it's a sugar. It's supposed to be a sugar substitute. But this, okay, so this new study suggests, it's from the Epoch Times. It suggests that a widely used sugar substitute found in diet drinks, chewing gum, low sugar yogurt, may elevate insulin levels, potentially increasing the long-term risk of heart disease. So somehow they forgot, Ginny, to include just how many food products it's used in. So how many, let's just see if people on the chat and you, Ginny, how many products do you think they're using aspartame in?
Well, give us an idea of what kind of products. Is that like Coke and Pop-Tarts or what exactly are we talking about?
Anything that says sugar-free.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, all this sugar-free. That's their advertising. They pretend that it's healthy by saying it's sugar-free. Diet drinks, chewing gum, low sugar, yogurt. As the three, but it can be anything, Pop-Tarts, anything that says sugar-free. How many products do you think?
That's a lot, boy. Thousands, 15, I'll say 15,000.
Oh my gosh, very good. It was found in 6,000 products.
Okay.
Yeah, you were good. That's good though, I like it. It's consumed by over 200 million people worldwide, making it one of the most widely used artificial sweeteners. Wow. It was approved in 1981 for dried foods. 2 years later, it was approved for carbonated beverages. That really pushed it over the mark. Okay, and in Death by Modern Medicine back in 2005, I wrote, for the best education on aspartame, follow the work of the late Betty Martini, founder of Mission Possible. Just search her name and Mission Possible. She's helped many thousands of people regain their health by warning them about the dangers of aspartame. And you'll find a paper trail that led to the FDA approval of aspartame, despite epileptic seizures and brain tumors appearing in test animals. You'll also learn about the 92 aspartame side effects that have been reported to the FDA and ignored. And now I'm just saying, this is not in my Death by Modern Medicine book. Now we have the very minimalist study recently published in the Journal of Cell Metabolism. And they found that aspartame triggers insulin levels in mice, which in turn contributes to atherosclerosis, heart disease, the buildup of fatty plaque in the arteries, blah, 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 blah. So they did in mice. They didn't even do it in humans. It's just incredible. The study also identified an immune signal that is activated when insulin gets released and is associated with inflammation in blood vessels, on and on and on. Now they want more research funding so they can do this in humans. Humans have been eating this stuff for 45 years and now they're going to do a study in humans? Seriously? And then how did an artificial sweetener that can cause epilepsy and tumors end up in 6,000 food products? And the second study that I'll put up is Huffington Post, actually, Donald Rumsfeld and the Strange History of Aspartame. So he was an American politician, government official, and businessman. And even though people in the FDA were saying that aspartame is dangerous and they didn't want to pass it, they didn't want to have it out in the public, and the FDA toxicologist told Congress that without a shadow of a doubt, aspartame can cause brain tumors and brain cancer, and it violated the Delaney Amendment, which forbids putting anything in food that is known to cause cancer. So the list of side effects, headache, memory loss, seizures, vision loss, coma, and cancer. It worsens or mimics the symptoms of such diseases and conditions as fibromyalgia, MS, lupus, ADD, ADHD, diabetes, Alzheimer's, chronic fatigue, and depression. And what it makes in the body is free methyl alcohol. One of the amino acids in aspartame breaks down and becomes methyl alcohol. And this chronic methanol poisoning affects the dopamine system of the brain, causing addiction. And, you know, methyl alcohol is a wood alcohol, and it's 1/3 of the aspartame molecule, and it's classified as a severe metabolic poison and narcotic. So the FDA had banned aspartame based on this finding of brain tumors, but then the Searle chairman, S-E-A-R-L-E, the drug company, chairman of the board, Donald Rumsfeld, he slipped over from government into Searle, and he vowed to call in his markers to get it approved. So, I'm saying here, he flipped back and forth from being Secretary of Defense in the Ford and George W. Bush administration and was on the board of the makers of aspartame. So he got it done. He got aspartame past all the studies of tumors and dozens of side effects, and we're all eating it today. And the Huffington Post article ends with this statement. When Searle was absorbed by Monsanto in 1985, Donald Rumsfeld reportedly received $12 million in bonus payments. So there, what do you think of that, Jenny?
My goodness. My goodness. Isn't that incredible?
Yep.
It's a $2 billion annually. $2 billion in revenue annually, just in that single product.
Yeah.
Just in the raw ingredient.
Yeah. 6,000 products. People say, oh, sugar-free, it must be good for me.
Right.
Horrible, horrible criminal marketing. So, I mean, I knew about the story. As I said, I wrote about it 20 years ago in Death by Modern Medicine. Not a peep in the, you know, whatever mainstream media about this. And it's something that probably Bobby Kennedy will be looking at and will receive a lot of blowback because he'll want to take it out of our food supply.
Yeah. Well, I think stevia, you know, and sucralose and others are contenders in this place, but the main thing that it does is it absolutely ruins your palate because these products are like 600 times sweeter than sugar itself.
Mm.
You know, it ruins your palate. You, unless something has sugar in it, you don't want to eat it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's addictive. The methanol part of it
creates
the addiction. So it's kind of deliberate, I think.
Mm.
So anything on the board before I go on?
I think we're good. We can press on.
So this is about heart failure. It might be a bit, well, it's very basic actually. So Medscape Medical News has got this article, A Turning Point in Heart Failure. For decades, physicians had little to offer their patients who had heart failure with worsening ejection fraction. And we're familiar with ejection fraction. Customers will get in touch with us about the change, positive change in their ejection fraction, but we're not allowed to talk about that. But anyway, doctors and big pharma are crowing now because they've launched 5 new drugs in 4 years for heart failure. What do you think those drugs are, Jenny? Oh, what are they, Carolyn? They're the Ozempic package. Because they can give weight loss drugs to overweight heart failure patients, they're saying that they're treating, or they're not curing heart failure, but they're giving people symptom relief. 4 of the 5 drugs are injectable or oral Ozempic type drugs, SGLT2 inhibitors. So that's their the quote, hugest advance in heart failure treatment in the last decade. These people, they're clowns. They think that they are treating heart failure. They're just treating overweight and getting a short-term gain. They're trying to say in this article that primary care physicians must be aware of these drugs, which are well tolerated. No, they're not. Dozens of studies and reports are now saying they're not well tolerated. And their final statement I find kind of shocking. Quote, I hope that the heroes of our healthcare system, primary care physicians, feel empowered to prescribe these therapies. No. If a doctor has any sense at all and these patients come back with their side effects, it's like, I've caused this? Oh my gosh. And then another slide, beyond guideline-directed medical therapy, the conclusion of this particular study was looking at non-pharmacological factors such as nutrition, cachexia, which is severe weight loss, exercise, et cetera, looking at the non-drug factors in treating these patients. They've come to realize that they should be looking at other things, but they don't go near dietary supplements. They don't go near magnesium, potassium, vitamin C, vitamin D, omega-3, and multiple minerals that can help these people. So it's very much blinkers on 100% for looking at people with heart disease.
Well, I tell you, Carolyn, this is why we have to keep doing what we're doing, because not only of what you're pointing out for people so that they have to take time to think and consider, a lot of our customers are very health conscious and they're aware, but they're still filtering this information for their loved ones and their community. But a person like Elma, our lovely customer in Kuwait, who gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning just to be live with us every single year for the last however many years we've been doing this, can literally make this comment, oh my God, that experience is so sad.
Yeah.
She knows the way it's supposed to really be. Mm-hmm. And she knows it's sad what's happening for so many people. So I just encourage our community to continue to share, to post, to repost this, to tell as many people as you can. And the way she knows that is because she's been letting Dr. Dean educate her all these years. And to reinforce these very salient, important points, because the body does not work on drugs. It works on nutrients because we are of the earth. We are not of big pharma.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Yes. The last note I had was about our protein powder. You remember, Ginny, I bought out the formula from a company that originally got it from a Swedish cardiac surgeon.
Yes.
Who created this formula to help his cardiac patients recover from their surgery. So our protein formula with pea powder, rice powder, and whey powder, and omegas, and what other wonderful lysine, things does it have?
Lysine and vitamin C.
Yeah. So it was specifically created for heart patients, and this is what we do suggest to our customers for their elderly relatives to use that instead of Ensure. Ensure is just straight sugar. It's incredible. So yes, that was amazing. Remembering that, I think maybe Julie reminded me the other day. Well, you know, the cardiologist that created the first formula. So there
Very
you go.
Good. Well, we're going to wrap up our show here in a few minutes, Carolyn, and we've only got just a few minutes left. What would you like to close with? And I do want to remind everybody of where to find us and find you when we are not online.
Let's, Rachel, jump one of the studies and jump to a huge diet study. Mm. More butter, more problems. So I call this one of the clown studies, Ginny. This is a clown study because this paper, and it was in a reputable, so-called reputable journal, JAMA, Journal American Medical Association Internal Medicine. And they're saying that a higher intake of butter was tied to a higher mortality risk in a large study. This wasn't a study, it was a diet survey. So they pump it all up and they say a higher intake of plant-based oil was linked with a lower mortality risk. Plant-based oils are our omega-6 inflammatory vegetable oils. How are they getting this information? Plant oils associated with survival benefit were olive. Yeah, that can be. Maybe that skewed their results. Soybean, no, it's all genetically engineered. Canola, no, it's genetically engineered. And those two are omega-6 inflammatories. So they talk about this large-scale longevity study suggests that more butter is bad, more plant oils are good, on and on and on. And then they apparently applied the statistical analysis of diet surveys to the prevention of cancer deaths as well. So the bias of this study shows when they say, the present findings are closely aligned with the dietary recommendations of the American Heart Association, which advocates for reducing saturated fat intake and replacing it with polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats to lower the risk of chronic disease. But this advice flies in the face of the increasing group of experts that say vegetable oils are the cause of chronic inflammation and disease. And then they say, while olive, soybean, and canola oils are associated with reduced mortality risk, this was not observed for corn and safflower oils. I don't know. I think putting the olive oil in with the soybean and canola fudged their results. Because soybean, canola, corn, and safflower are all omega-6. Olive oil has some omega-9s. It has some 6 and it has some 3. So they just blew the study apart. Then they further muddy the waters by saying there are other plant-based oils such as palm oil and coconut oil that were not examined but have been linked to adverse health outcomes in other studies. They have not. Palm oil and canola oil are saturated oils. Yeah, maybe they're plants, but they're nut oils, palm, coconut, and they're saturated. The deal is if your fat and oil is saturated, it's not going to allow an oxidation to occur that will cause like a rust in the body, oxidating these oils, making them rancid. Unsaturated fats and oils from vegetables, they're all holy and they'll get oxidized and rancid and disgusting. So that's, I'm just saying that's plain wrong. Palm oil and coconut oil are saturated, have incredible health benefits. There are whole books written on these oils. They also commend the vegetable oils for their omega-3 content, which is false. The main content is omega-6. Then I read that they concocted this whole study from diet data, food frequency questionnaires taken every 4 years. There's no way you can remember what you ate the past 4 years. And then, as I said, they're trying to look at the risk of cancer deaths in this group. So I'll be on the lookout for more studies. You know, they do this one study and then they tweak everything so that it looks like they get a conclusion. Ginny and I know how bad the university research is. Don't we Ginny?
Do. Oh, we do. We yeah. know so many things. Yes, we do.
And, so there you go. Yeah. More critique.
Yeah, there we go. My goodness. Well, I think that was great to just describe to everybody that a saturated oil that's it protects itself from oxidization turning into rust, and an unsaturated oil turns into rust in your body. And since you don't want it in your car, you don't want it in your gut. And so avoid those. And that's about as easy peasy, simple wimple as you get. And that is Dr. Dean being her Scottish common sense self and breaking mm-hmm. it down mm-hmm. in very easy terms so everybody can know and remember. And now I'll never forget that. And I do not want to be eating any kind of rusty food. So I'm out on those things. If you loved our show tonight, which so many people have already said they do, please hang out with Dr. Dean and myself every single week. drcarolyndean.com is Dr. Dean's personal website, and it is replete with information, including her, I don't know, 100-page, couple hundred-page CV. If you're curious about Dr. Dean and her entire history, it's a fascinating walk through history, boy, I'll tell you. So is Death by Modern Medicine, if you want to know what she's been up to. You can look at her podcasts that she's done over the years, some newbies and some older ones, and just check her out. She's consistent, she's brilliant, she's loving, and she's dynamic in what she knows and what she's willing to share with you. If you want to visit her product website, RNA Reset is the place to go. RNA ribonucleic acid is the beginning place of DNA, and it's the beginning place of all of life. We've heard speculatively said, the evolutionists believe that, and it is the beginning place of your very good health. You can check out the formulas. They're pure. They're not all goobered up, and they don't have weird energy behind them like Donald When I found out Dick Cheney had a dietary supplement company, I mean, he was behind that. I'm like, that just takes it all. That takes the cake. My gosh, putting that stuff in your mouth. Can you imagine? And then, of course, if we love ourselves, we're going to love our pets. And PicoPets.com is Dr. Dean's product formulations for our loved ones that are our furry friends. And we invite you to join us there, too. So as Nan says, every show is priceless. We have so much fun. Carolyn and I are still having a blast, which is just hilarious considering everything we've gone through and there's some of the pressures that we've been under. We still just roll it out every week, don't we, Carolyn?
You do. Look at those muscles.
I got a rebounder, so I'm excited to see what that's going to do for my other muscles. So we won't be showing those.
Give me your heart.
Here's my heart. We love you guys. Oh. We love you. And we'll see you soon. Bye, everybody. We'll be back next week.
You have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the doctor of the future. Become a member of drcarolyndean.com. and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.